to ask him to come up and speak to us.
Thank you, Dan. It's my privilege to follow you onto the platform, so thank you very much. It's good to be with you folks this morning, and thanks for your prayers as I was traveling, and I know some of you think about that, the weather and so on, and in all the years that I've been traveling, mostly every Sunday I'm traveling somewhere, usually longer than an hour to get somewhere to preach, and that is to get to somewhere where I'm going to be preaching, not to find somewhere that'll let me preach. But over all those years, I think I've only been turned back twice by the weather. One time the car broke down, the vehicle broke down, the Lord just didn't want me to go. Another time I was traveling, heading out towards Barrie direction, and I don't know, have you noticed, they get a lot of snow out there. And as I started out, and I went out the 118 highway, which sort of takes you out through towards Haliburton direction, I got up there and there's a tremendous whiteout. I couldn't see a thing, and I turned around, came back, and turned on the TV, the weather network, and they just drew a big circle around Barrie and Orillia, and they said, if you're going anywhere near there, don't go there. And I just took that as of the Lord to stay home. So good to be with you this morning, and I can't believe it's December already. Can't believe that we're looking forward to Christmas already. And I don't know about you, but I'm enjoying the Christmas carols. I know some people don't really care for Christmas music. They start it too early in the shopping malls. They pump the stuff out, and a lot of times they haven't a clue what they're singing about, and a lot of times they're not singing about the right stuff anyway. And I'm not trying to be critical and so on, and jingling bells and all that kind of stuff is all kind of neat. But what a joy to know that the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world in order to rescue sinners. That is a real tremendous joy to know that. And so I hope that this Christmas, you know, don't be a humbug kind of a person, even though you find some of it a little bit too repetitive. I know it's way too commercialized. I know that it's in many ways, our society has lost sight of what it's all about. It's not just a holiday season. It's about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ into this world in order to rescue us from our sin. But if you are a bit of a humbug, you know, don't let that happen. Point and look to and remember the reason for the season, to use a bit of a cliche, the Lord Jesus Christ coming into the world. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 4 this morning. And I see one or two people in the congregation this morning that might have been present elsewhere when I was elsewhere and might have heard the same set of messages. So what do you do with that? One of them is my son, Peter, of course, poor guy. That's why wives don't travel with their preachers. They just hear the same thing over and over and over again, okay? They have to listen to them at home, and so I have to do that and then hear them from place to place. But let's go back a little bit. Recently, I was asked to speak on a particular topic in a particular Bible chapel, and they were going through a series, and I was asked to take one of those morning sessions. They had various speakers coming in, and I was asked to take one of those sessions, and I enjoyed it so much, and I found it so much of a challenge that I developed that a little more, and I said, I want to look at more of that in the Word of God. And I want to allow the Lord to challenge people and encourage people as well in this whole area. So if you have heard some of this before, I was going to say too bad. Good for you. You get to hear it again. Okay, it's kind of like the Christmas music goes on and on. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. And then over to verse 11. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Now, I was born in Scotland, and I can't remember anymore if they say distributing over there or distributing, and I forget how we say it in Canada. So I'm going to flip back and forth possibly between the two, and when I say it wrong for your ears, you'll just have to pardon me with that, okay? We have a really interesting subject that I want us to look at this morning. Let's just ask again the Lord's blessing together before we do that. Father, we do thank you for your grace. We thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for your goodness. And Father, we thank you for the gift of salvation. What a joy it is to be able to come together to sing these songs, Father, of praise, not just to go through some routine or just because it's on a calendar, but Father, to know the joy that the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom we, each one of us, are the chief. Father, we know that we needed salvation. We know, as we read of your holy word, that man is lost without you. But we thank you that in your love, you sent your Son into this world to be our Savior. And Father, we look into this passage of Scripture today, Father, we just pray that your Holy Spirit would work in our hearts. I pray, Father, that your Spirit would operate in a very special way and speak to us and teach us, and that every need, Father, or that is every heart here with various needs, that you would address those needs as we look at your word this morning. We just commit all of these things to you and ask these things in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. I want to tell you about Sparky this morning. Back in Bancroft years ago, there was a guy called Sparky. I'm not talking about the same guy, but he was the guy that fixed the radiator for your car and so on. That's the only other Sparky that I've ever met. I don't know if you've ever heard of this Sparky, though. For Sparky, school was all but impossible. He failed every single subject in the eighth grade. Can you imagine doing that? Maybe some of you can. He flunked physics. He flunked physics in high school. He got a grade of zero in physics. Sparky also flunked Latin. Obviously, it must have been a long time ago. He flunked algebra and he flunked English. He didn't do much better in sports either, although he did manage to make the school golf team once, but he promptly lost the only important match of the season. Thankfully, there was a consolation match, but he managed to lose that one as well. Throughout his youth, Sparky was socially awkward. He was not actually disliked by the other students. It's just that nobody really noticed or seemed to care that much. And he was astonished if a classmate even said hello to him outside of the school hours. Sparky was a loser, and he and his classmates and everybody knew it, so he decided he'd just roll with that. He figured out early on in life that if things were meant to work out, they would. And so otherwise, he'd just content himself with being what he figured would be his inevitable mediocrity. However, one thing was important to Sparky. He loved to draw, and he was quite pleased with his artwork. And of course, nobody else really appreciated it. But in his senior high school year, he submitted some cartoons to the editors of the yearbook, and every single one of his cartoons were turned down. But despite that particular rejection, Sparky was so convinced of his ability that he decided to become a professional artist. And after he finished high school, he wrote a letter to Walt Disney Studios, and he was told to send some samples of his artwork. And there was a subject that was given to him, and he had to draw the cartoons. And he drew those cartoons and spent a lot of time on it and finally submitted them. And finally, the reply came back from Disney Studios, and he was rejected once again. Another loss for the loser. So Sparky decided to write his own autobiography in cartoons. He described his childhood self, a little boy loser and a chronic underachiever. The cartoon character would soon become famous worldwide because Sparky, the boy with such a lack of success in school and whose work was rejected again and again, was Charles Schulz, who drew that character in the Peanuts comic strip, Charlie Brown, whose kite never would fly and who never got to kick the football. We can relate to him, can't we? Can you relate to him? I don't know if you can, but I know that I can. And I think every single one of us in some way can relate to that character of Charlie Brown and that character of Sparky, or Charles Schulz, as he's better known to us. And I guess it's because we understand, most of us, something of what it is to feel like an underachiever. Now, we all know that for the majority of us, we felt as we were sitting in class that there were one or two people who were the brainiacs in class, and nothing came hard for them. And I want you to understand that probably for those people as well, I was never one of them, so I have to imagine it. For those people as well, they also feel that sense of underachieving, of trying to figure out where I fit in, and so on and so on. The interesting thing about Charles Schulz is once he found the right thing to be involved in, he used it, and it was a blessing to everybody around about him. Everybody could benefit from that. And, you know, for 50 years, he used that simple gift that he had of being able to draw a cartoon and put into pictures what he was feeling or what people went through. And people would say, well, that was a gift, wasn't it? Or we would say, well, that was a special talent. You know, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we can sometimes in our life, and not just in life, but in the Christian church, as the Bible tells us that God wants us to be a congregation, a body of Christ that meets together, that gathers together, that worships together, that loves one another, that strengthens and builds each other up and encourages one another. Sometimes we can get that feeling of, I wonder just how I fit in. Or where do I actually fit in? Sometimes we look around in the congregation, or we sort of do it, and we look around at Christendom and we say, well, I'm not like that person. I know the Word of God says that I need to be serving the Lord, but I'm an underachiever. I don't know what it is God wants me to do, and I don't think I've got the abilities. I don't think I've got the talents. I don't think I've got the right stuff to be able to serve God the way that God tells me that He wants me to serve. And I want to remind you that, you know, just as I think about that, Moses, the guy who left Egypt, who failed as a prince and who murdered someone and ran away from home and from everything he'd ever grown up with. He even tried to lead his own people. That was a failure. It was a mess. He winds up becoming a shepherd in the middle of nowhere and quite content just to live out there away from everyone else. And God says, I can use you, Moses. And Moses says, I can't even talk. I stutter, I stammer, whatever it was. Moses had something in his speech that he felt was a real impediment. He says, hey, you've got the wrong guy, Lord. And the Lord says, no, I haven't. I've got the right person. Because who made your mouth anyway? Who made your mouth? And so Moses was learning to rely on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I know it's true that every single one of us has some kind of a natural talent. I don't know whether you know that. Maybe you feel you got no talent. And when we feel we got no talent, no ability, we feel we have no worth. And that is just not the truth at all. One thing I know for sure is the Lord Jesus Christ saw you being such a worth to Him that He came into the world and He died on the cross for your sins, and you are precious in His sight. You are somebody in His sight. Even though you're a sinner, even though you don't deserve Him and His love, He came into this world for you in order to rescue you and redeem you so that you might belong to Him. And if you've trusted Him as your Savior, you come into that wonderful love and that realization that comes from the Lord. You know, where does our self-worth come from? It doesn't come from ourself, and it doesn't come from our own ability, and it doesn't even come from the way that people treat me, but it comes from that recognition that I'm someone to the Lord Jesus Christ. And though nobody else cares about me, and though nobody else understands me or knows what I'm going through, the Lord knows me, and I mean something to Him. That gives me a sense of self-worth. And then I also realize that He gives me some natural abilities. Now, you might say it's nothing glowing, and Charles Schulz would have said the same thing, because people didn't like his drawings to begin with. I don't know, maybe he tried the wrong kind of art. Maybe he gave it to the wrong audience. But eventually it was discovered, and eventually it was appreciated, wasn't it? And eventually we would say, well, it was developed as well. So the Lord gives us natural talents that come to us from the very moment of birth. Before then, even probably. They're in the womb. They come to us naturally, handed down from our parents. And then we find that the Word of God also tells us something very important. And this is where our passage comes in this morning. And this morning is very much introductory. This morning and next Sunday morning, Lord willing, we're going to look at this topic of spiritual gifts and of ministry. And then we're going to go to the Christmas message, because that'll be the 21st. And then we're going to go back, Lord willing, back to this area of ministry. This idea, this discovering my place in God's plan. What is it that God has for me to do? And I don't want you to put pressure on yourself. I don't want you to come through this week and through this month and saying, well, by the end of this week, by the end of this month, I've got to discover what it is God wants me to do with my life. I don't want you to put pressure on yourself and say to yourself, I've got to discover what my spiritual gift is by the end of this month or by the end of this week or even by the end of next year. I don't find that in the Word of God it says, discover your spiritual gift. I don't read that anywhere. But I do read that the Bible says, as we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 4, as we read there at the beginning, He says there are diversities of gifts. Let's go back to chapter 12, verse 1. He says, now concerning spirituals, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. In the Bible, the way I've read it is that actually the way it's written in the Greek. But concerning spirituals or spiritual things, and he doesn't really say what that is, but as we go through the passage, we begin to realize he's talking about spiritual gifts. We find that that's the word that comes down through the passage, and throughout the passage, that's the word that comes up to us. Actually, the interesting thing is, in chapter 12 and chapter 13 and chapter 14, the entire three chapters are given to the subject of understanding my place in the body of Christ, that I'm connected to everybody else, that I have a role to play, and God has uniquely designed me and equipped me to serve him. That God gives me spiritual gifts. They had, in the church in Corinth, they had a lot of understandings about the spiritual gifts. They felt that one or two spiritual gifts were more important than others. They felt that some people were more spiritually gifted than others. They felt that some people were more important than others. They felt those who felt more important were squishing others down, and those who felt they were further down felt they had nothing to do whatsoever. And so Paul says to them in chapter 12 and verse 1, I don't want you to be ignorant or not having understanding about spiritual gifts. Now, obviously that's our topic for this morning, and it's going to be developing through next week as well. And I don't think the Lord wants us to be ignorant about it either. Okay, so let's understand that. As we look at that word gifts, actually, maybe just come into chapter 12 and verse 4. We find that word comes to us, gifts. There are diversities of gifts, and I think we need to understand that word first of all. The Greek word is the word charisma. We still use that word today, right? We talk about a person having a special or a certain charisma, and we sort of use the word a different way. But that is the Greek word, actually, and so when we use that word, it's a Greek word we're using. But that word itself comes from a root word from which we get the word charis, or grace. And so when we read about grace in the Bible, we're reading about something that we don't deserve, that we don't merit, that we weren't born with, that God graciously, lovingly gives to us as a free gift. And so that's what grace is. And so when he's talking about a spiritual gift, he's talking about something that God gives to us in a spiritual way at the moment that we're saved, and it's a gift that he gives to us. And so I think maybe just in that various, maybe we can connect that into Christmas this morning, okay? As we think about this whole thing, that the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world and he gave himself to us. And when we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we receive salvation. And along with that, he gives us gifts. Along with that, he gives us extras as well. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7, I'm just going to read these verses to you because the theme there, again, is spiritual gifts. But he says to us in Ephesians 4, verse 7, but to each one of us, that is every believer, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts to men. Now this he ascended, what does it mean but that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. What's Paul talking about there? What he's saying is every single believer has received the grace of God. Every single believer, when they trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, receives God's gift to them, the gift of eternal life, the gift of salvation, the gift of forgiveness, the gift of heaven. And then he says also that the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world, and you'll notice what it says, that it said something about descending, and then also the fact that he ascended as well, and he gave gifts to men. He led captivity captive, and he gave gifts to men. He's drawing on a particular allusion that they would have understood right away. Just like if we were to talk about the Olympics and say, you know, when they're carrying the flame in the Olympics, you have a mental image already, right? You have some history, you have some understanding of that, you've learned things about that, so the picture comes to your mind right away. And so for Paul, when he gave this illustration, it's something that he could grab a hold of right away. You see, in the Roman world, when the Roman general fought the war and won, he captured the enemy generals and the enemy king, and he paraded them through the streets of Rome, and he led captivity captive, and he showed everybody the victory that he'd won. And then, at the end of it all, he would hand out gifts to those who are on his side, who are part of the winning team, and he'd hand out those gifts. Now, today we would hand out medals, right? Medals of valor and of honor and so on, right? And back then, they would share the spoil. And so he gave gifts to men. What he's talking about is the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world and died on the cross and defeated the enemy. He dealt with sin at the cross. He dealt with our eternal damnation at the cross. He went through the suffering for us at the cross. Not only that, but he rose triumphantly from the grave. He's defeated death. He's defeated the grave. He's defeated sin. He's defeated the devil. And he is the victor, and he's at the right hand of God today. And those of us who have trusted Christ as our Savior share in that victory. Those of us who are saved find that the devil is not going to have his hold on us for the rest of our lives. We don't belong to him anymore. We belong to Christ. Not only that, but we find that our sins are forgiven. We find that we have new life in him. We realize we are going to share in that resurrection. We're going home to heaven to be with him as well. We're on the winning team. And he gives gifts to men. He says, I've got extras for you. Just because you belong to me and because you share in that victory and because you're saved and now you're mine, he says, he gives gifts to men. And every single one of us, he says, who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ receives extra, can I say them this way, rewards? We don't deserve them. We didn't do anything. All we did was we trusted Christ as our Savior, but he gives gifts to men. So we're going to look at those things, and I want you to understand as we look at them that they're actual special abilities, okay? And so he says to us, there are diversities of gifts. Now, in my Bible, it says the word diversities in verse 4. It uses the word differences in verse 5. It uses the word diversities in verse 6. In the Greek, it's the same word each time. I'm not saying my translator is wrong, but we realize there's different ways to say the same word, right, sometimes? And so the word really is the same word each time. And the idea in that word diversities that's in our Greek, that's in the Greek, is this idea of distinctions, differences, and yet in that idea as well is the idea of distributing. So it's kind of like when, you know, it comes to Christmas time and Grandma buys gifts for the grandkids. And Grandma, sometimes I know that you buy the same thing for everybody, but you don't always do that because the 17-year-old doesn't need what the 4-year-old needs, right? And so they don't all get the same thing, right? And so they might all get the chocolate bar or the box of Smarties. By the way, those things always go down well. But you know what? They get differences, right? And they're all distributed, and there's a variety that's there. That's just how it's done. And it's your prerogative, and it's your desire, and it's your delight to do it, and you do it according to the way that you've just decided that that's what you wanted to do. He says there's a variety of different kinds of spiritual gifts. Well, what are they? They're not the same thing as a natural talent, because they're given to us at the moment that we're saved. We're not talking about an ability with mathematics. We're not talking about an ability to make pie, okay? We're not talking about an ability with music. All those things are natural talents that are discovered and learned and developed and then are used to bless others. And we certainly to use them in the service of God and to encourage one another. But the spiritual gifts are something a little different. And we read about them in Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12. And Ephesians 4 and 1 Peter 4. Now, I was never very good at remembering things. Just ask my wife. I haven't improved over the years. And the only thing I can say in my defense is now that I'm in my 50s, I've got an excuse now. Okay? What do you expect? I mean, it's the age I'm at now of forgetting things. But I've never had the excuse until I was in my 50s. But I'm not good at remembering things. I'd find that difficult. But Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, 1 Peter 4, I can remember that, okay? And those of you who went through having to memorize your memorization tables at school, your mathematics, you know what I mean, if you had to do that, you should find that quite easy. That's where we read the lists of the gifts, of the different spiritual gifts and what they are. And so he says to us, there are a variety of different spiritual gifts. Can I just mention one or two to you? There's the gift of evangelism. This is a special ability that God gives to somebody to preach the gospel or to share the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. They just have the special ability to be able to do that. Let me tell you somebody that I know of who I believe had that tremendous ability from the Lord, and his name was Doug Robinson. If I was to, and I won't ask for it, but if I was to ask for a show of hands here as to how many of you were either led to the Lord by Doug Robinson, or he was a tremendous influence in your life in bringing you to the Lord Jesus Christ, there'd be a lot of hands would go up here. Because Doug, I believe, had that spiritual ability from the Lord. It was just his burning desire. It was his joy. It was his area. It was the thing, one of the things, amongst others, that he just delighted in doing. It was a passion of his. And because it was a spiritual gift. And just as for Kyle to come up and play, that's a passion of his. It wasn't a chore. It's an enjoyment, right? It takes work, but it's an enjoyment. And so we find that that's one of the spiritual gifts. There are other gifts as well. We can think the gift of, the Bible talks about the gift of showing mercy. That's the gift of showing kindness to others. That's the kind of person who you know, because you're hurting, because you're not doing well, they come over and they reach out to you. They see you in your need, and they reach out and they help. There's the gift, the Bible tells, of giving. These are people who enjoy giving. Most of us find that a bit of a burden. Most of us find that an obligation. Most of us know that's a responsibility. But there are people who are just have that joy. It's in their heart. It's in their, you know, I know a particular brother in Christ. He's just like that. I daren't hardly mention any need that I have to him because he's going to be giving it to me. It's his desire. It's his delight. It's his joy. It's what he does. And that's a spiritual gift. Now, we could say, aren't we all supposed to be doing those things anyway? Yes. But let me ask you this. Didn't we all have to take math and science and French and all of those other things? Isn't there a sense in which we needed a bit of science and we still use it today and we still use some history and we still use our geography because we learn how to look at the map, right? And we still use our math and we still use our English. We use them every day. We need them. But you know what? You're stronger in some things than others, right? You are more talented, more gifted, more naturally able in some of those areas. And there are lots of things that God says, I want you to be doing these things. And everybody has a responsibility to do it as a believer. But I've given you a particular ability in that one. And I've given you a particular ability in that one or this one. He says there are lots of different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit, the same Holy Spirit. What is a spiritual gift? It's something that the Holy Spirit distributes to us. Wait a minute, David, I thought you said the Lord Jesus gives it to us. Yeah, he does. Do you know what my role is on Sunday, or sorry, not Sunday morning, on Christmas morning? I know my role. I don't know how many other dads are like this or how many other husbands have this role. It usually starts off with one of the kids having the role, but then, you know, somehow I got the role. I put on the Santa hat, okay? It's the only acknowledgement of Santa we have, but I put on the silly Santa hat on Christmas morning, and I'm the one crawling under the tree, and I'm the one handing them out. Guess who actually went and physically bought most of it all? It wasn't me. It wasn't me. And I'll say, what's that again? You know, I hand it out, and I say, I don't remember. What did we give him? And she tells me, it's that thing. You'll remember when you, oh, yeah, we gave you that. Did you enjoy that? But I'm handing it out, okay? I'm the one distributing it. And the Bible says that there are lots of spiritual gifts, and the Lord Jesus is the one who gives them to us, but they're distributed by the Holy Spirit when he comes into our life. We all, every believer, has the same Holy Spirit living in us. He says there's lots of differences in us because we have different abilities that God gives to us spiritually, but we all have the same Holy Spirit whose life is working in us. Let's go to the next one. He says there are differences of ministries. There's lots of different ministries that God gives to us. What are some of the different kinds of ministries we have? Well, there's evangelistic ministry. There's the Sunday school ministry. I'm picking out some of the more obvious ones to begin with. There's the deacon's ministry, right? And then there's the ministry of, you know, of visiting one another, because I'm sure, I don't know the list, I don't know who's involved, but I guarantee, without any prior knowledge, I guarantee that there's some sort of a ministry that when somebody's not doing so well, the ladies are getting the food ready to come and take it over and deliver it to them, right? This is the sick folks who can't make any meals for themselves, you know, overload them with food ministry, right? You know, we have that, right? We have the prayer chain ministry. We've got the all different kinds of ministry that's going on. There's lots of different ways, practical ways, some more public, some more private, lots of different things that God wants us to be doing. And I want you to understand that word ministry, it means service. There's lots of different gifts that God gives to us, but it's the same Holy Spirit, and there's lots of different ministries and ways of serving that God gives to us, but it's the same Lord. Now I want you to think about that for a moment, because every single one of us who's saved is saved by the same Lord. You see, what he's saying to us is we're not all carbon copies of the same person. We're not all Charles Schultz, and we're not all Kyle Palmer, and thankfully we're not all David Marshall either. We're all different, right? And we're all given different abilities, and we're all called to a different ministry, but we're all serving the same Lord Jesus Christ who saved us. Do you know what your ministry is all about? It's about serving the Lord Jesus. It's about letting him be Lord in your life. Well, then he goes on to say there are diversities of activities, lots of different activities. I find the Greek word there very interesting as you study it. It is a word which I'm not even sure if I'm not even going to try to pronounce it, because I think in the Greek I'll pronounce it incorrectly. But it's the word that we get our word energy from. There are lots of different energies or activities, but it is the same God who is energizing or working in all. What he's saying to us is this. You know, there's lots of different abilities that God gives to us, spiritual abilities. And he says there's lots of different ministries that he's got us involved in. And there are lots of different activities that people could be doing. For example, not every preacher is doing the same thing, are they? I mean, some are over on the mission field, and some are working with children, and some are working with adults. There's lots of different ways. There are people who have the gift of showing mercy. And maybe their particular ministry, they might be visiting the nursing home. And there's lots of different kinds of activities you might be doing there. Because some folks are serving the tea, and others are chatting with the residents, and others are listening to them, and others are helping them out of their bed or into their bed or whatever, right? There's lots of different things that might be done in your area of ministry. We're not all going to be carbon copies of each other. You probably noticed by now, not every preacher is the same. Right? And not every believer is the same. And not every ministry is the same. Not every activity is the same. But he says it's the same God. It's the same God who's working all these things in all. Have you noticed, by the way, that he's showing to us the differences and the similarity? Right? He's showing us that there's lots of things that are different, but there's some things which are absolutely concrete. And not only that, but he says there's the Father, there's the Son, there's the Holy Spirit, and he mentions the Trinity. Now, I want you to think about this for a moment. Why does he mention the Trinity anyway? Why does he do that? And are each member of the Trinity carbon copies of each other? They're not all the same. I don't understand, really, but I understand that the Father is not the same as the Son, and the Son is not the same as the Holy Spirit, and yet they are co-equal, and they work together, and they're involved in the same project together, if I can use that word, okay, and yet they have different activities that they're involved in, because the Father sent the Son into the world to die for our sins, and when we trust Christ as our Savior, the Holy Spirit comes into our lives and makes us alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we need to understand that he's saying to us there's lots of different ways that we are serving the Lord, or we are to serve the Lord, and he gives each one of us different things to do, but we belong to the same Lord. Although the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, they're not all the same, and yet they are the same God. He says, you know, there's an equality there, and they're not all the same. We've never seen the Holy Spirit. His ministry is quite distinct, isn't it? From the ministry of the Father and of the Son as well. He says to us, I want you to understand, though, it's the same God who's working all in all. He says all of that energy and all of that activity that's working in our lives when we're serving the Lord, when we're surrendering to the Lord Jesus Christ, when we're letting the Holy Spirit work in us, it's the same God who's working in us and through us.
So in other words, when somebody visits the elderly folks' home and they come away and somebody's saying, thank you so much for what you did, and they're saying, it wasn't really me, it's God. God laid it on my heart, and God gave me the ability, and so on. And how many times maybe have you stepped forward to serve the Lord, and you realize it's your turn to do it, and you feel so inadequate and so unable and so much aware of how you need the Lord's help, and you've realized it's actually the Lord who did it all. It's the same Lord who's working in every single one of us, and we need to understand that. And so one of the things he wants us to understand is this realization of a harmony, and he wants us to understand as well the fact that we've all got something special to do if we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. It just has to be discovered, right? Now, I know that I've heard ministry before, and I'm not criticizing anyone, but I know that I've sat in the pew before and felt, you know, all this talk about spiritual gifts, it puts pressure on me. It gives me anxiety. I go home feeling like, well, how come I haven't figured out yet what I'm supposed to do? Let me ask you this. Has a grade 2 child figured out what to do yet? No, but by grade 5, they're figuring out what they like and what they don't like, okay? Don't like math. Mom kept saying it was going to be fun, but it wasn't. I mean, it's fun at school to begin with, but by grade 5, math, I mean, for some people, it's fun, okay? But for a lot of people, it's not fun. And for some people, they realize they're good at cutting and pasting, and some people realize they're no good at cutting and pasting. I never was, okay? If it comes to measuring, cutting, pasting, sticking, gluing, putting it upright, I've got it wrong every time. I can't do it. I failed that in kindergarten, I guess. I don't know. Cannot do it. My wife and I have discovered when it comes to wallpapering, she does the measuring. Now, she has to get up high to do it. She does the measuring. We don't wallpaper anymore, but when we did, she did the measuring. She did the cutting, because I would do it wrong every time. I can't do it. I'd do it wrong every time. But I would put it up there because I can reach the high part. And she can't. She's 5 feet tall. And I get it up there, and I put it up in the corner, and she'd say, no, straighten it up. And I'd straighten it up because I'd have it crooked, but I could get it up to the top. And then she'd say, you get the bubbles out, because I could do the bubble part. Meanwhile, she's cutting and measuring the next bit. I figured out thankfully, we weren't both good at the same thing, right? And so we were complementary, right? So my inadequacy, she was able to fill in for that. And in my stronger areas, I could handle the bits that she couldn't do, right? Because I, you know, that's, by the way, everybody's going to get married should have to go through putting wallpaper up in a room. And if you can't do that without tearing each other apart, then you know, there's no hope. Anyway, we've all got different things to do in the body of Christ. Let's go down to verse 7 before we finish up. There's a couple of verses I want us to look at. Verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one. Catch that. Everybody has something from the Holy Spirit that God gives for us to do. Don't lose sleep over this, because sometimes things don't become apparent till you're older. Some of us have realized by now, I didn't know what I was supposed to do with my life till I was about 30, right? You go to college because you're supposed to, and you think you know what you're doing there. You come out, you realize you haven't a clue what you're doing. Then you get married, then you know you didn't know what you're doing, and then whatever, right? And then somewhere along the way, you realize, this is what I'm supposed to do. Okay, now that I found that, I didn't know I had those abilities, right? And in our spiritual growth, it's the same. Concentrate on growing in the Lord, in surrendering your life to the Lord, letting the Holy Spirit take life of your Lord, hold of your life, and letting God work in you and through you, and He will start to show you what it is He wants you to do. He'll show you what you love doing. He'll show you what you're not good at doing. He's done that to me. He'll show you what you're able to do, even though you thought you couldn't do it. Remember being at school, I can't do this, you know? And then you found out you can do it. And you're surprised you could do it. And somebody says, you're actually good at that. Surprise, surprise. You didn't know, right? You might laugh at this one, but I remember going to college, and the one course I dreaded more than anything else, public speaking. I did not want to take it. I was the most shyest, most awkward, socially awkward, whatever. I was Charles Schulz. I was all of that. I still am in many ways. And yet God showed me, you can actually do that. It was the one class, if there was anything ever I thought might have made me drop out of school, out of college, it would have been that course, public speaking. Because I never did that in class before, and I never volunteered for it, and I was the guy that didn't say anything, and for good reason. That's how I felt about it all. And so don't discredit what God is able to do in your life. Be willing to do whatever he wants you to do. He says to us in verse 7 that the manifestation of the Spirit, when you are working in the area that God gives you to do, what God is doing is he's demonstrating himself. That there's an evidence that the Holy Spirit is working in your life. That's what a spiritual gift is, right? That when you're serving the Lord and he gives you that thing to do, that you can see that God's working that individual's life. There's an evidence that the Spirit of God is there. He says that's given to each one of us for the profit of all. What's a spiritual gift for? It's for everyone else. You know what my wife did this morning? I don't know. I was shaking my head. I got up early. I purposely took my clothes out of love for my wife. I took my clothes out of the bedroom last night, put them in another room, put my shaver through there, everything that I'd need in that other room. The idea is that I won't turn on the light. I won't disturb her. After my shower, I can get dressed in there and all of that. And so by the time I'm coming out of the shower and about to get dressed, she's up already. She's going. And I was surprised. She didn't need to be up yet, I didn't think. Well, it turns out she did, because she was having Don Solomon's over for supper or lunch today, along with, you know, her dad and so on. So that's what she was doing today. And, she, you know, I looked at her, I said, are you up already? I could smell the onions and all that. I hope Don likes onions, but he was going to get it today. But I could smell the onions and all that kind of stuff going. I said, you're up early. She said, David, I enjoy doing this. I love doing this. Right? And so in your area that God gifts you, what you're going to discover is you love doing it. It might be the scariest thing you ever did, but somewhere along the way, you know, it's kind of like hang gliding or something, right? It might be the scariest thing you ever did, but then you realize you love doing it. I hate heights, so I could never like hang gliding. But anyway, he says it's given, though, for the profit of all. What's my wife doing it for? For herself? Well, no, she's getting fun out of it. But she's doing it for the benefit of others as well. Let's go finally down to verse 11. I don't know if the clock has stopped or because I haven't yet, but I think I still got a little bit of time. Verse 11. But one and the same Spirit works all these things. Understand that. If I'm letting the Holy Spirit work in me, we're talking about the Holy Spirit who came into your life when you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ to save you from your sins, assuming that you've done that. And the Holy Spirit came into your life, and the Holy Spirit did something, and he worked that in your life. He brought something into your life. He brought it to you. And the same Spirit is working all those things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. You know what that tells me? You can't pray for your spiritual gift. Say, Lord, please give me the gift of evangelism. I've always wanted that. Okay? Or Lord, please don't give me the gift of evangelism because I don't want to get up in front of people or whatever. You can't pray about it. It's already been handed out. He's already handed it out. You can't pray and say, Lord, as they were figuring, and you can't, you know, as some folks would say, you can't pray for a spiritual gift, for a special ability from the Lord because you know what? It's all been handed out already. You received it at the moment you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. On what basis? As he pleased, as he willed, as he wanted to. Now, I want you to stop and think about it, Grandma. When the kids write to you and say, Grandma, I want this gift for Christmas, and because that's what I really would like to have. You might take note of it, but the kid may not get it, right? I mean, you just have your reasons. Parents, you'll grandparents can be a little softer. But parents, okay? So your kids dictate to you what they want. I want this, I want that, I want this, I want that. Well, that's very nice, dear. But you may not get that. You might get one of those things. You might not get any of those things. And maybe you have got good reason why. But I have bought what I wanted to buy for the reason I wanted to buy, and it's what I wanted to give to you, and I thought it fitted you. Understand that. The spiritual gift that God gives to you fits you. And it was God's delight and God's joy and his desire to give that one to you. He doesn't give out consolation prizes. I don't know what you feel about a pair of black socks, or, you know, under the Christmas tree, but I'll tell you one thing. I wear black socks. I'm not asking for them. If there's any extras, you can hand them over at the end. But, you know, I like black socks. I need to wear them. And, you know, a pair of black socks is better than no pair of black socks, right? But God doesn't give some sort of consolation prize. Let me ask you, what's better, a Lamborghini? I know where the guys are with this one, okay? But if you got a huge lawn, I mean, a lawn tractor is great too, right? They're both vehicles. They're both different things. They're not in the same category at all. They're not both for the same thing anyway, are they? Because you just don't drive one on the road and you can't cut the grass with the other. They're entirely different things. And so when my one son gets a Lamborghini this year and the other one gets a lawn tractor... and the other one gets nothing. It was my joy. Right? And so don't be an individual who says, well, I'm just not as gifted as anyone else. And somehow I got a sour attitude with it all, and I don't know what God did, because he didn't give me anything. And I'm a nobody, and I got nothing to offer. You know, there's a real sense in which you don't have anything to offer. But that's why he gave you that special ability. I don't want you to lose sleep over it. I don't want you to have anxiety over it. But what I'd encourage you to do is get involved in what God wants you to do. We're going to talk more about that next Sunday morning, Lord willing. My ministry. But just understand this morning. God sees you as a valuable individual. Christ died on the cross for your sins. And if you're not saved, you need that Savior. He died so that you could be forgiven of your sins and escape the wrath of hell and know eternal life. If you don't have him, you don't have that eternal life. That's what he came into the world for. And when we trust him as our Savior, he brings us that eternal life, and he brings extras. And he says, I've got a job for you to do. He says, you just surrender to me. You just go to school. You get involved in things. You do things, and I'll begin to show you what it is I've given you special abilities to do. And I'll give you a desire in that. I'll give you a joy in it even. And I'll show you that it is something special that can be used for my honor and for my glory. So I trust that in some way that'll be an encouragement to you as well, that you just simply surrender your life to the Lord. Maybe that's where we want to go as we pray this morning. Let's just ask God to take hold of our hearts and our lives. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your salvation. Thank you for giving us eternal life. And Lord, if there's anyone in this room who is not yet saved, I just pray that your Holy Spirit would speak to them. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Lord, we need to receive Christ in order to receive the gift of eternal life. Father, we pray that each one here will know what it is to know him as Savior. And Lord, for those of us who are saved, thank you for loving us. You see worth in us. Father, we don't know what we have to offer many times. But I just pray that each one of us here who are saved would realize you've given us something to do. Help us to understand that. Help us to realize you've given us a purpose in life. It's in serving you. And Lord, help us to surrender ourselves to you, to let you be Lord of our lives, to let the Holy Spirit work in us and through us. And Lord, that honor and glory might be brought to others, that we would find a purpose, and Lord, we would have that sense of worth as well. And Lord, that we might be a blessing to those around us. We just pray all these things in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.